I don't know which chabur to say it to them.
Well, if they want to say one next week too, I'll ask you. I'm serious. What are the two choices?
There are actually three choices.
Well, if we say three in a row, I have no problem. I mean, that's very sincere. What are the three choices?
Someone complained that we didn't talk about prostate surgery. Yeah, all right. That's what? Already, it's later. I'm not holding there yet.
All right.
Adoption problems. Now, then the second or third is also adoption. Only one's lamais and the other's a little bit more lumbus. Let me start with the problems, and then we'll see if we have time for the lumbus to that. If not, I'll invite
adoption.
Wow.
Adoption.
Are
you ready?
All right. The shayla, I went to adoption agencies. I'm not talking about the shayla, you know, the religious truth on adoption with my success and all that, but also. But Porsche, the shayla is the shtuki nasufi, when children are adopted, whether they have a din of a shtuki or they have a din of a nasufi. Let me begin, and the problem here is that you have to keep the different fact patterns separate, because the different combinations of permutations. I'll start with the simple problem which confronts everybody sooner or later. You have a seder kiddushin, and the parents of the host of the kala tell you, if you're lucky, they tell you before. If you ask, they tell you before. Otherwise, you can hear that the chuppah, that the child is adopted. And to them, the big shayla is, what name do you write in the ksuba? That is a shayla. I'm not making that away, but that's for the issues. The first shayla is tzulei kol, that's falzei gornishnai. No, that doesn't even occur to them. Whether the child is mutar b'kol, whether the child is din a sufi, if not a sufi, that's din a b'shtuki. And it's usually it comes with a story. Very seldom will they tell you that they adopted a Jewish child, for a very simple reason: there are no Jewish children available for adoption. And if there are, they usually come with a history and a pedigree and the whole business. But Jewish children in this country were never available for adoption, at least as long as I know. Once upon a time, 50 years ago.
In the 50s.
50 years ago.
Look,
I had one here in the yeshiva. I was Masada Kedushin because I was the Shabbos Goy. It was a shayla of a shtuki. And whatever it was, it goes back quite a while. And it was a story, it was whatever happened. But I don't know of another Jewish child that was adopted. And it's not for today, but that's why adoption has all the problems. I'm not talking about the halacha problems, but these adoptions generally, they are not matzliach for simple reasons. Bifrat today, Jewish girls, first of all, they're all becheskas ksheiros. Nothing ever says, well, what should happen? And I feel in Tzlaimer, yes, they have enough seichel that. Whatever. If they do one yisrim, they'll chosh another yisrim too. And that's among goyim also. But once upon a time, I remember as a child, I grew up in Nori Cheshech. My father was the local rabbi. And there were kid children available for adoption all the time. There were farm girls. They got into trouble, as euphemism was. And I remember that the local newspaper used to print all the births, but only if the girl was married. If the girl wasn't married, they didn't print the mazel tov in the newspaper. No, that much they that much they were godur. But as a child, I learned that it was a miut haminka. 30-40% of the births were to unmarried women in those days, and this was in the rural community. It happened, you know, except that the hospital had from all around, the villages, the towns, who knows what. And those were children that were available for adoption. That's where they got the adoption agencies got the kids. For the most part, it was the South, but it was also the rural areas of Ohio and Pennsylvania and Indiana, these places. That was till the pill. After the pill, this didn't happen among goyim either, and if it did happen, so you figure out the rest. You know, what kind of genotype do you think this child presents with? And you tell your mother didn't have the seichel to do whatever you can do to eliminate the problems. Now you take this kid, you adopt in a Jewish family, and you send it to a day school with the double program and the high power pressure, and you can understand what happens. The result is lots of problems. These are problematic. But that's not the point. The point, yeah.
Eretz Yisrael,
basically. Eretz Yisrael is a different parasha. It's a different problem for Eretz Yisrael. And I don't know the Israeli scene. Once upon a time, they were from what they called Eidos HaMizrach. They had too many kids to support Poshim. They sometimes started them for adoption. Now you have different kinds of problems in Eretz Yisrael, but there's abortion in Eretz Yisrael too. They lose more Ubrim to abortion than the Aliyah per year. The statistics are there. There are more abortions than there are immigrants to Israel. So, you know, so who ends up carrying the child to term and surrendering it for adoption afterwards? Anyway, you got problems there, problems here. The shalos and the halacha turned out to be totally different. But generally, that's why I started the Agdome, you don't get what I call the bitter shalos. The bitter shalos, when they come and they tell you it was a Jewish child, they come and they tell you that it was adopted and it was presumably non-Jewish, and they tell you that there was a they tell you there was no gerus. Or even worse, they tell you there was a gerus which was invalid in halacha. It was a conservative gerus, no? So you've got the real problems. My reaction, I'll tell you another ma'aser shehoyah. I'll be mishandled a little bit because I don't want the people to be identified, and B, it makes it easier for my hypothetical. My reaction to all of this was that I'm not sure that these people have namonis to say that the child is adopted in the first place. Who says they have namonis? We'll come to that in a second. But I had a ma'aser shehoyah. There was a young man who grew up, Avinisena Harabi, Matina Kanishba. His parents were, you know, prominent people, names you might even recognize, but they were intelligent, among the intelligentsia, and they didn't know anything about Yiddishkeit at all, had no interest in Yiddishkeit, and the son went off and he married a shiksa. And that happens. And someplace along the line, the story is not negay us, but someplace along the line, he discovered he's a Jew, and he discovered what Yiddishkeit is. And his wife discovers it along with him. There was no shayla of Gabriel's shum issues. They were Megayer, the wife. He already had several children. Megayer, the children, too. Talmud Chochem, he didn't become, and that's an exaggeration. But you would look at him, he looks as if he walked out of a Chassidus Sheveis Medrash, and the wife is Medakti Bekalika Vachamura. You won't see a hair anyplace, and the children are all in the yeshivas, v'chule, v'chule. They live in Europe. And he wants to send one of his children to Avish Yankee of America, Chutz Le'ir, not New York. So he comes to New York, comes to America, and he tries to enroll the girl in the Beis Yankiv, and they ask what they're supposed to ask. And they discover the mother's a Gieris, I think this girl is also a Gieris, so they ask, and who was Megayer? And he answers who was Megayer. The one who was Megayer then was, it's not Mamish, but it's Bechinas, a French consistoire rabbin. Okay. He was a Shomer Mitzvahs. That much I was Mithar. He was a Shomer Mitzvahs. He was the Mithar of two people. One of them was the Shamis, the Chazan, who also was Musik's a Shomer Mitzvahs. And the third was a Balabos, who nobody knew. No one knows who he is. But the Menayel of the Beis Yankiv didn't want to take this child as a student in the Beis Yankiv. So, one way or another, I get involved. So my first arrow to the Benaya was, and who tells you he has namonis? Who tells you he has namonis that his wife wasn't Jewish, that the girl wasn't Jewish? He comes from who knows where. He's been here, nobody knows him. Even where he is living now, nobody knows the story unless he would tell the story. There aren't Musikas anything. There are Musikas too fine room to people in town. So you know he's coming now with a story that the daughter was Megayer, and now you have pikpukim about the Bezdin that was Megayer her. But basically, there was a Cheskes Yadus, a Cheskes Hanhoge, and now he's coming to say, Keneged the Chazoke. So, Neman at Lisol Sachbacho, yet Neman Lisol is Binuchem. That's the first. Yeah, sorry.
Unless you can go to court records.
Right, I'll talk about court records in a second. Court records of Gerus, there isn't.
Every
Bezdin
has
records.
Every Bezdin has records.
That doesn't necessarily create a Chazoke. the fact that a Bezdin has a record someplace he's not living in the place where he would have Megayer, and the place they were Megayer is 25 years ago. It's Yitochin that nobody even remembers anything, and it's very Yitochin that there were no records. It's not a Bezdin that was
they went out of the way,
why should go out of the way, not have records? Your Bezdin shall adjaitis. This wasn't the Bezdin that was Megayer, this was a local rabbi. But what took two people, and he was Megayer. We kept records, he didn't keep records. Who knows what happened there? In any event, but basically, with Malkin Basilk and Alakazokis, you got a Cheskas Hanhoge, and now this person is coming to be Seisur, the Cheskas Hanhoge, and he's telling us that the child isn't Jewish, to all intents and purposes. And who says he has namonis to say the child isn't Jewish? Now, again, it depends on the facts. It depends when you're dealing, particularly in America, some cases, everybody knows that the child is adopted. You don't have to make an announcement. A woman suddenly appears pushing a baby carriage, and it wasn't Kresa Ben Shinel before. The neighbors immediately understand what happened here, because she doesn't make any announcement, and becomes muksak in the shkuna that this child is an adopted child. Sometimes they don't even try to hide it. Sometimes they do try to hide it. There are other cases where it's yitochin that the child is muksak, and that nobody knows otherwise. So the question now is, what about the adoption certificate? What about the birth certificate? Does that mean anything? Let's deal first with the birth certificate. I don't think the birth certificate means a thing, for a very simple reason. A birth certificate isn't even arkois shalakum. The arkois don't issue the birth certificate. The birth certificate is easily gotten. Anybody can get a birth certificate. All you have to do is supply the information, and the birth certificate will be given in its place. You go, there are two ways to get a birth certificate. You can say, we had a child yesterday, and we had a midwife in the house, I want a birth certificate, and they'll give it to you. Or if you want to, the other way to get a birth certificate is retroactively. You claim to be somebody who you aren't, but you want a copy of the birth certificate. People do it all the time. You go to the cemetery, and you look at tombstones, and you take the name of somebody and his birth date, and know that he's not going to show up to be makish, and you apply for his birth certificate, and you get it. And then you apply for a social security number, particularly if he never had one, you'll get it, and if not, you'll get a copy of his. And with the birth certificate and the social security card, you go and you get a driver's license. And with these three documents, you're in business. You want a passport, you'll get a passport. You want credit cards, you'll get credit cards. You can create a purse. People, it's nice in Bukholia. Legal.
Illegal.
Who said so what? I don't. Wait. I know. Oh, we'll talk about all the chazokas that we have, but I don't know of any chazokas that says that a Jew doesn't do something which is illegal. such a chazokas doesn't exist.
No, but if the birth certificate is a legal document, and the hospitals are not allowed to, if one forges it or obtains it illegally and dishonestly,
I'm making a simple point. The birth certificate may be what you call a legal document. I'm not sure it has a status of a legal document. The Hafilim Timsleimer, yes, but it doesn't carry with it the status in halacha of iksav of arkoy shalakum. And I'll talk about arkoy shalakum in a second. For a very simple reason. The birth, anything I can go and I ask for and give me a piece of paper, that's not arkoy shalakum. We'll see what arkoy shalakum is in a moment.
No, it's a notarized document.
So well, our birth certificates aren't notarized.
It's a stamp of the hospital world department of records, which is also a dog.
It's a stamp from
the Department of Health.
And what are they certifying that you gave it?
They
saw the baby. They don't know the baby was born. They certify that you came and told them that
you have to come with documentation of something. You can't just walk off the street and say, I had a child.
Yes.
Person born at home could never.
But yeah.
No, you're coming with an apple.
The baby, wasn't it? Where does the baby get the birth certificate?
Yeah. They can't ask you for a birth certificate when you apply for a birth certificate.
No.
How do you prove you were born?
No, because you have the form that I did it a couple weeks ago, the form for a client. The form is an affidavit.
You sign an affidavit.
No, the client signed an affidavit.
No, you're the client. No.
Okay, yeah. You sign the affidavit.
My wife had a baby. You and your wife signed.
But that then has legal ramifications.
But what? Again, nachamu. Of course, that's perjury. Shtoris ayin bar koyi shel akum. As I said a moment ago, it says that the court isn't mishaker, but that the person who applies to the court isn't mishaker. I don't know of any such umtin, any such halacha. All that the court is saying is that Pliny came to me and Pliny swore an affidavit, and I'm certifying that he swore the affidavit.
Why should that be different than any other case that we have when we walk in when we go to court?
Every other case, the arkoyes are different. Every arkoyes is when the arkoyes are certifying things that they know. Ishtar oil of arkoyes shalakum, the arkoyes shalakum are being made that the leva, that this was a dasa mischayiv, whatever is going on here, whatever is in the shtar, they're telling me it's true because they know it's true. When they sign a birth certificate, they're not telling me they know that it's true. They tell me, I know you said it. That's all they're being made. So what does it mean? It means less than nothing. That's why I don't think a birth certificate has it in the Markoy Sholakum. If anybody can get it just by asking for it. So what kind of Markoy Sholakum? it's garbage in, garbage out. The Arkoyes are only certifying that you told me this. And that's how the system works, because they're not Choshed that you're going to go to them today and claim you have a child who was never born, so that 65 years later you'll be able to collect Social Security on the child's name. That's why they allow the system to operate. But basically, a birth certificate, I don't think, has any taken in halacha. It's easy to get. It's yochel yizdayim. What kind of taken can it have? The adoption certificate, that's already a little bit different. The adoption certificate is a court order. And the court is saying whatever it is the court is saying, but one thing it's certainly saying, and that is this child is not your natural child, but you came into custody of the child because the court certified that you have custody of the child. Okay. So the Al-Shaila is, does the adoption certificate have a takeif in a case such as this? We have a cheskes hanoge. The cheskes hanoge is b'no korach achrei habishuk. That's the cheskes hanoge. Not only they're Jewish, but that these are natural parents. B'no korach achrei habishuk is enough for seiklin al chazokis. We give skila for this. And now you're coming suddenly to negate the chazoki of b'no korach achrei habishuk. You're producing an adoption certificate. It's not b'no. You have a chazoki that says b'no. I have the edus of our kois. It's not b'no. So what's the status of all of this? Tesis says that the nemonis of our kois, or the shtoris in baruch shalakum, is because lemari nashayu. The courts don't lie. Other people can lie when they apply to the court, but the courts don't lie. They're not going to do something which is a shekel. So what is that? It's a chazokah. So what you have is a chazokah keneged a chazokah. So what does that leave me? One chazokah keneged a chazokah. I'm left with a sophic as far as this child is concerned. If I want to know whether a child is Jewish or a child is not Jewish, I end up with a sophic mamish. If I have an of hametz, and I have now an adoption certificate which says he's not the father, and I want to know what name to write in the ksuba. If you don't ordinarily write the name of the mamets, I don't know if there's any name to write in the ksuba. You can't write that she's a shtuki or whatever in the tzis, if not in din. You can't write she doesn't have a father because he's standing there, he says he has a father. You can't write he's the father because you have the lemari nafshay of arkois, which is keneged. You're noble. So what happens? So first of all, it seems to me the Tesis in Gittin says, yes, this is chazok lemari nafshayu. But Tesis says it's a chazok derabonon because it's a chazok gerua. So what does that mean? It means, yeah, it's a birur, but it's not the birur of a chazok deraisa. It is lemari nafshayu. Usually, sometimes they are lemari nafshayu. They've been known to lie too. They're known to take bribes. So that luchur, if you have a chazoka alimto neked a chazoka gerua, even the adoption certificate shouldn't mean anything. But no kol chachareho is a stronger chazoka. That's for Tosis, yes.
If the child grows up and everyone in the neighborhood, that's
a chazoka. That then there's never a chazoka that. Of course. No, but not
somebody that literally at the wedding is the first time that anyone hears.
Right. Yeah, and that's
anything
less than that, there was no cheskas avus in the first place. B'nol kochach rehel bishuk is only when you don't know the contrary. If everybody knows the contrary, that's not going to change the mitzvah. It's a davar pashut. Okay, now that's for Tosis. Other Rishonim say that the shtoras ha'ilim ba'koy shal akum is based on the din d'malchusa. It has a status because leimar nafshay of true enough. But why does it have a teikif and haloche? It has a teikif and haloche because din d'malchusa dina. Din d'malchusa is very nice. Din Malchusa works in Mominus. Din Malchusa is not going to change status for Iser Veheter. So it doesn't even have a din of a chazoke kineged, the chazoke for these purposes. Alright, that's the far out case where nobody knows the child was adopted, and now we've got the problem. Suddenly he comes and he says that the child was adopted. I'm not sure he's got no bonus to say the child was adopted. Now again, that may be pretty far out because most of the time, I can't say all the time by any means, but most of the time there's knowledge that the child was adopted, particularly now the social mores have changed. Once upon a time they tried to conceal the fact that the child was adopted. Now people are more open and they're not embarrassed to tell their friends immediately, so it becomes known to the tzibur. But that's not far out, and it sounds a little bit strange, but I'm not sure that 25 years later, when nobody knows anything, the parents have nemonis with regard to this. To say that they don't have nemonis is a kula, I assure you. Here you have, you know, if to say they do have nemonis and the child was adopted, then we've got real problems. Now, one little point I didn't talk about, and that it's a little point, it's a big point. Why shouldn't the father, the adopted father, or whoever he is, have nemonis to say it's not his child? A person has nemonis to say that ain't zebini, and that's essentially what's happening. I'm coming, I'm telling you it's adopted, it's not my child, so why shouldn't I have nemonis to say it's ain't zebini? So first of all, you have a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you've seen already, that if he first says it's bini and then says ain't zebini, he doesn't have nemonis. It's very strange for the chuppah for the first time to say ain zeh bini and not to have said it's bini before. Mele, I'm not sure that he ever said bini, because Megadol Yosem Tech Beis says Kilu Yolda, and some people even saying write the Shem HaMa'ameitz and Eksuv Neged with that, not Lalacha, but Mele, the people who said such things, because it's called Benoi. Colloquially, it's certainly called Benoi. When he was ever made Bifnei Bezdin, it was his natural child, that when in school they asked him for the father's name, he wrote in the blank the father's name, so he comes later and he's Mefarish Devarav, I meant my adopted child. So I'm not sure that he ever said B'Peh Mole that this is my child. And if yes, the child is whether he's, once he says Bini, he doesn't have nemonis to say the opposite. But what if he says Kutz Lebezn? Machav doesn't say, what if he says Bebezn? Or even Kutz Lebezn? Not only that, and again, this is Tone Birur, but it seems to me that he doesn't have nemonis afterwards, even within the masla. And here you have an masla. The masla is a masla for errors. I didn't want to create psychological problems for the child by telling him he's adopted. I was embarrassed for the relatives, for the friends, various, whatever. That's in the masla. But I don't know if he has nemonis to say Ein Zebni within the masla either. Because it seems to me that you don't have nemonis, because if I said Bini, you created a chazoka. Saying this Bini creates the cheskas avos. And later you don't have nemonis connected the chazoka. So that I'm not even sure within the masla will help. But put that aside, we might even have a person who would have nemonis mitzad ein zeh bini. The reason, or another reason, besides the fact that he probably already said bini, unless you'd be mitaris devoro, is a Rebbe Kveger in the Tshuvah Simen Kuf Chav Ches. Rebbe Kveger is dealing there with a shayla. You have an eishes ish, and her husband now says that ein zeh bini. And the shayla isn't Yerusha, what he has nemonis to disinherit the child. Once he said ein zeh bini, the shayla is this child mutar b'kol, or is the child not mutar b'kol? So Rebbe Kveger says he's mutar b'kol versus sex faker. First suffix is obvious. So it's ein zeh bini. So if his wife was mizana, maybe she was mizana with a nakum. It's mizana with a nakum. It's not a mamza. That's only one suffix. What's the second suffix? The second suffix, he's mitzarif three shitas. to make a seker didina together with this sofik in mitzias. Maybe it was an akum. What are the three svekas? Number one, the shita's bahak, that ein zebni is nemon only to be mavaker the younger son, like the pshuto shal mikra. That's the chur, what the pasuk is talking about. Liyichol mavaker the ben ohuvav nei ben hasnua habachor. But when the father comes and says that the younger one is the son, is the bechor, he has nemonis, and that means that the first one is out in the cold. So the bahag says that's only when you're saying that the younger one is the bechor, do you have nemonis. Other cases, he has no nemonis. All this person was saying here was that one son ain't 70. Number two, there are some shitas that hold that the father's nemonis only if the wife is makish. If the wife is makish, there's no nemonis. And then there's the shulti giburim, who says the father has nemonis only if he claims that this child is a mamzer. If he doesn't claim it's a mamzer, he's not nemonis. And he was not saying he's a mamzer. It could have been a goy. So Rebbe Kveger takes all three of them together and says, you're a star of that, and you have now a sveksveket. So it's not clear that the ma'amet suddenly shows up and says, ein zebeni, he has nemonis. In these cases, can you be mstar of all of these svekas together? Are they who's created svek sveka? I'm not sure. But yeah. In the case, the Roif Bilis Acher Habal, when he says Ein Zebni, he's got nemonis for that. The presumption, I presume, when he's saying Ein Zebni, he's telling you there's a matz in which there was no Roif Bilis. Yeah. And if he's telling me there's Roif Bilis, so he's not saying Ein Zebni. How do you know? The first thing you have to ask him is, how do you know it's Ein Zebni?
Right.
And we'll hear what he has to say. I'm sorry? According to Shach, we don't
make up circuits.
What do you mean we don't make up circuits? You shouldn't go be matter a treifer with your own svek svekas, but that doesn't mean that there are no svek svekas in other places, or that you can possible somebody b'mokin svek svekas my possible makol. This is a horrible alma. I'm not sure that under any circumstances this person would have nemonis to say ein zebni, particularly since in most cases he's already said that it is a son. All right, so that's the general case when you suddenly hear that the child is adopted, and that they're telling you bepemole that the child wasn't Jewish, or that the gerus wasn't valid. The typical case, now we'll go to the adoption agency, which is really one I want to talk about. But the agencies have nemonis. What does the agencies tell you? So first of all, we have to deal with a case of an agency that makes no claims. Don't claim we're an agency and we have children. We even may be Jews, but we get kids from all over. We don't know who the kids are. You want the baby, you can have the baby. We don't issue a warranty. No warranty authenticating the yichus. So what do you end up with? You're ending up with what is in effect an asufi. What is an asufi? Moshe uses a strange lotion someplace. He talked about a shtuki b'mitzius, not a shtuki in halachi. Yeah, there's a mitzius here. This child is b'mitzius an asufi. He's a foundling. That's why you got him in the adoption agency. The adoption agency got him because he doesn't have parents, or the parents surrendered him. The adoption, I don't think that this has a din of an asufi in din, because it's no worse than if you find the child in the Beis HaKnesses. The shash asufi is because the child has been abandoned, and we're chayshish, that they abandoned him because he was a mamzer. They didn't want to have a mamzer around. But if they leave in the Beis HaKnesses, or there are other simonim, holders of simonim in Shulchan Aruch, in those circumstances, we don't assume that the child is Nasufi. It's only if you leave him exposed to die. If he's not left exposed to die, he does not have a din of Nasufi. So leaving him in the steps of an orphan asylum is certainly no worse than leaving him in a Beis HaKnesses. So that even if you had an ear Sherubo Yisrael, it wouldn't have a din of an Nasufi for Psulei Kol. Then what are we dealing with? in an ear with roif akum, and in chutz loretz everything is roif akum. In Eretz Yisrael, again, I don't know. We'll worry about Eretz Yisrael. What Eretz Yisrael people worry about Eretz Yisrael, but in chutz loretz, in an ear shruba akum, and he doesn't have a din of an sufi, because even ruba akum, if it's mushlach b'shuk, you have to be chayshish. That was a Jew who was mushlach b'shuk. But if you're not chayshish mushlach b'shuk, you only know whether it's Jewish or non-Jewish. So mitzad hadin, this child should need gerus because he's lahalocha avadai goy. The roif tells me he's avadai akum, and once you're megayer him, there's no problem. Remember that to say that the child needs gerus is the biggest kula, because you've eliminated all shoshes, no problems whatsoever. There are no shailah psuleikol. We gave him a din in din of an akum vadai, needs gerus, not even misofet. Roif tells me he needs gerus b'teres vadai. So now I'm megayer him and everything is fine. There's an Igris Moshe who says the same thing, but he says it in a different way. Simon Kufdal, I don't remember, was Bezer, Gimel of Ebenezer. He says that every child you get from adoption agency has a din of Kol D'Porish, Meruba Porish. And that's where I have a little bit of a problem. I'm not sure that the adoption agency is a Kol D'Porish, Meruba Porish. Now again, when the adoption agency isn't telling you anything about the yichus of the child, I think that the child probably has a din, or definitely has a din of an akum, an irshub akum, and no problems of sulei kol. But Rav Meir is going a step further. He's saying that when you get a child from an adoption agency in an ear shiruba akum, you say kol d'porish meruba porish. You have gotten a child who has a din of an akum because of this roif. And here I'm not certain. And Mela, in this case, the case I described to you where the adoption agency says nothing, I think the sofik is noilad when the child is presented to the adoption agency, because in fact the adoption agency is telling you we ask no questions. I'll make that hypothetical. I told you it'll be different hypotheticals. The adoption agency says we don't ask those questions. We don't know. We don't care. So that when the child came, there was a sofik, and then there was a kol d'porish. However, Reb Moshe seems to be saying, and this will become important later, that when you go to the adoption agency, there's also a kol d'porish, meruba porish, and I have trouble with that. My trouble starts from a lot of places, a lot of different
ways. When you go to the adoption
agency, in the near shuba akum, I have to assume whatever they're giving me is a good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a very question. Is this not applied anymore because you can actually research the origins of your of the baby? Just, or do we say, you know, don't ask, don't tell?
Again, I need to rehearse that.
Is it nowadays that people actually do can find out that from the TSD, the lineage of a child?
The adoption agency.
There are ways in the left states have rules like that.
Yes, they do. I'm going to come to that in a second. I took purposely this case,
okay,
where the adoption agency makes no claims, no representations. We didn't ask. We don't know. We're not interested. Because even when they ask, I'm not sure that the answers make any difference for halacha. But that's another wrinkle. Again. So the Reb Moshe says it's a kol d'porish, meruba porish. The problem with that, I'll just take one source to underscore the problem, but you can approach it in a half a dozen different ways. There's a tshuva in the Chem de Shleime. He deals with an interesting case. There was an esh ish, and her husband disappeared and left her an aguna. And it's now yeser mimem shona afterwards. The Chem de Shleime. She was nisarvo bein hanochrim. What should she do? She has no source of support, so she goes to the goyim, and his lo hisnago das yehudis klal. She's not acting like a Jewish woman at all. Af lo himiro doso. The one schus she has, says the Chem de Shleime, is that she didn't become a mumeris. No, she never became a Christian. And in the course of all of this, she became a mufkeres, mamish, and she's been living with aporits, but also she hasn't achieved any great social status. The aporits has been living with her, kiderech, that the pritzim lived with aniye yakum. They had stable parents, and this was another one of them. And she has a child. She had two children. The first one we don't know about. This is the second. It's a girl. And on her deathbed, she tells the girl that she's Jewish, and she tells the girl to be misnahe kedarkei hayehudim. And the girl apparently takes this to heart, and she goes and she finds herself a Jewish community, and she also finds herself a shidduch. And now the question is, can she get married? Is she mutter, or is she not mutter lekols, or shash mamzerus, shasis, everything finds itself into the shayla. Now, most of the tzdodim of the sofik aren't negeya to us at all. The one thing that the Chaim de Shlomo says which is negeya, he says l'shayach loymar denoylat hasofik b'mokim kavua. You can't say that her sofik was noylad in a mokim kavua. Also, giving subas, did she go to the boil? The boil come to her? Was the kosher? Was the posik? Was the posel? Dilinyin ze nire dahavi kenochris. For purposes of kavua, since the mother was a mufkeres and was a noyeg kedarke Yisrael, she is like a nochris. And therefore, since she isn't cheshish b'surim klal, dino ka'akum, and therefore the sofik is never noilad in the mokum kviyas. The sofik is only noilad afterwards, when the girl is coming to us. Now, what's the Chaim de Yisrael saying? He's saying something with regard to the sukkah of Tisha Kanuyas. And what's the difference between if you find something b'shuk or you find something in the chanus, the Tisha Kanuyas? All the meat that ends up in the street came from the chanuyas. So the sofik is always in the chanuyas. The sofik isn't in the street. So the difference between pirish or a person who buys meat in one of the chanuyas is that he goes to the chanus and there is the mokim kavua. Only he didn't look at the sign outside, or he forgot which one he went to, and the sofik was noilad immediately in the mokim kavius. No, and what about the person who finds meat in the street? This also was lost by a person who was once in the chanus, so the sofik goes right back to the chanus. What's the difference? What does it make it pirish? The terrace is that the sofik isn't always in the chanus at all. If you have a case of an akum who buys meat in the chanus and then loses it in the street, or the achrayim say a tinik she'en lo das, and the tinik left it afterwards in the street. I forget, he didn't leave it in the street. He comes and he gives it to you. The tinik bought it in the chanus, and he comes and he tells you, I don't remember which chanus I bought it in. This, the achrayim will say, this isn't the case of tisha chanuyas, and I don't remember which chanus I bought it in. When I don't remember which chanus I bought it in, I had to know at the time I bought it. The sofik was noilad at the time when I went and I bought it. But a kotin sheinli das, he has no sveikus, and a goy also has no sveikus. There's nothing for him to be misupik about when he buys the meat, because it's not negeya. What's in negeya? The goy was kosher treif. He's like kosher meat too. He's like treif meat. The child only dies. He doesn't know anything. So that means that the sofik wasn't neilad in the mokim hakviyas, and in the case of this akum, why not? Because it's not negeya to him. In effect, what the Chaim de Yisrael was saying is that if she is a mufkeres and she's not chesheshes b'surim klal, forget about whether she has a din of a mumeres. That's not negeya. We're not asking you whether she has a din of a mumer with yena jainesach or not. That's a different problem. But if she's not chesheshes b'surim, then it's no different to her whether the boil is a kosher or a posel. So to her, it was never a suffix if the boil was a kosher apostle, and in the mokum kvius there was no kol kavua kemasa maksadami. The problem comes only afterwards, and afterwards the child was a porish. So the Chaim de Yisrael in his case says this girl has no problems. We don't have to be cheshish that the mother was nivel to Yisrael, who would turn her into a mamzer, because we, or whatever else the child was there, it was a, you know, we will say a kind of a kol de porish, meiruva porish, and there's no problem because the sofik is neilad in the mokum kviyas if you're not chayshish at all. Now, the hypothetical I gave you, I purposely began by saying the adoption agency tells you, we don't care, we don't ask questions, we are einenu chayshishim. Makes no difference to us. We don't care whether it's Yisrael, whether it's a goy, whether it's a mamzer, whether it's not a mamzer. So the sofik at that point isn't a here you have the reverse. The Chemdes Yisrael is telling me the Sofik was nailed Mokin Kvius as a call the parish. Here, the Sofik wasn't nailed when I found it in the street. The adoption agency, to all intents and purposes, is finding it in the street. They're going out, they're finding foundlings, they're taking him in. The Sofik, it's no Sofik to them. Where is the Sofik Neilad? The Sofik is Neilad in the foundling home. Once you're in the foundling home, that's where the Tinnik lives. Now that we have a thesis in Ksuvis, that an Odom is Kavua in the place that he lives. So when I go to the adoption agency that couldn't have cared less, I'm the first person who made a difference. And to me, it's a sophic and a mokum kvius. This is the mokum kvius of the child. And there are mamzerim in town. So I don't know, is this one a mamzer, is this one not a mamzer? In the mokum akvius, in his mokum dire, it's lechura a kol kavua kamakza al makzadomi. That, you know, lechura is the case. So if you had an adoption agency that were to tell you, we don't care at all, so you've got a real problem in terms of the Yichus, if you take this analysis and regard the Sofik as having been Neilad in the Mokin Kvius. However, as you pointed out a moment ago, most adoption agencies claim that they care. Not that we don't ask questions, if for no other reasons, the law in most jurisdictions says that you're supposed to look for religious compatibility. It's not a ma'akev, but it's one of the things you're supposed to be looking for whatever reason. So they've got to ask for one reason or another. And then they tell you that the child's Jewish. We know the child is Jewish, so we don't have to worry about it being a goy or this or the other. And now we have other problems. Is it a, not an Asufi, but is it a Shtuki? Now, the adoption agency can tell you, of course, we interviewed the mother, and the mother said, Lakosha Navalti, and assuming Lakosha Navalti helps Chutz Lebezdin, they're telling you that there's no problem with Shtuki. Or they'll tell you that, yes, the father identified himself also, and he's a fine, upstanding member of the community, and certainly there was no problem with incestuous relationship, and we know he wasn't the mom, so we know about all of this, we went and we checked it out, no, that's all possible. That's a hypothetical you have to deal with. Yes.
You also, because most of the page started with Nitman after founding, that most cases are cases where the girl is a single girl.
I'm sorry.
Can you say that most girls are single girls?
But see,
there?
The umtnas doesn't help us. If we're dealing with a shtuki, we need two rives. In addition to everything else, that's what we're dealing with Shtuki. So let me just deal with this. Now again, obviously, if the adoption agency were concerned, and again, I don't want to mix the hypotheticals, but most adoptions aren't agency adoptions. Most adoptions go through a lawyer. Once upon a time, they went through doctors and. Now, outlying communities, they still go through doctors. The obstetrician who came upon this farm kid and delivered the baby is now doing the parents, the mother, a favor, not telling them he's taking big money from the adoptive parents. But that's usually how it happens. When you're dealing with that case and you're there at the very beginning, it's easy to avoid all the problems. And if the adoption agency wanted to, the adoption agency could avoid all the problems. And would take care of Ramesh's problem with adoption. Ramesh has problems with adoption altogether. He thinks adoption is an iser deraisa if you're dealing with a Jewish child. If you start with his hanoch, it's a kol deparish, ruva parish, there's no problem altogether. It's a good, you have nothing to worry about. But he had in a Jewish adoption, he has a problem with zarecha acharecha. The halacha says you're not allowed to have a wife in every port because shema yisa oches achaisai molar. Ramesha thinks it's not a drabonon, he thinks it's a deraisa, that anything which will contribute to the suppression of parental identity is bechlal d'yisur of mol or azimah. I said, look, this is what's happening in closed adoption. You go to an adoption agency, they won't tell you who the natural parents are. If you know that it's a Jewish, or if they had the mamonos to tell you it's a Jewish child, then you're taking this Jewish child and you're suppressing at least maternal identity. Even if they don't know who the father is, they knew what the mother was, and they're not telling you. And then later, Shem Yisroch is Achaisei. Mele, it's a tangent. Ramosha may be right in principle, but I don't think that he's right in Lepoyel, because the adoptive parents aren't doing anything to be mishkakeach, anything. As soon as the adoption agency gets their hands on the child, they were mishkakeach the identity of the mother, they're not going to tell anybody afterwards. And if they raise the child themselves, they're also not going to tell you later. Then the ones who come afterwards and simply take the child off their hands, I don't see how they've contributed to the yisur. But in private adoptions, you're the sirsur in one way or another, and the sirsur is contributing to this yisur. But there's a simple remedy, and that is, and in private adoptions you can do it, agency adoptions, they have confidentiality. They're not going to let the rov speak to the young lady unless you convince them otherwise. But in private adoption, the rov takes two people and get her to say, number one, lakosher nevalti, and generally it's a shagis, which for these purposes is lakosher, and the child is no longer a stuki who is also bekoil. And at the same time, you get a list of all the known Yisurichitun. And you give her a tzetel saying the child's not in a shtuki. And you keep a copy of the tzetel on the bottom or on the other side. You write the name and the addresses of all the people whom the child's not allowed to marry. And when the child's ready, Begila Shiduchim, before the chuppah, you go to the person who's kept the record and you ask, is the chosen one of the people whose name's on the list? Or is the kala one of the people whose name's on the list? I don't think Rav Meir should have any problems with that. You weren't creating the potential for Zimah. That lechura shouldn't be a problem at all. But again, let's go back to the case where the adoption agency claims to have known everything. So the first thing that I think is important is that Lanias, again, before I come, I came upon, there are very few tshuvas written about the status of adopted children for purposes of Yisurei Kohol. And just there's a Chalkis Yankiv, and there's something in the Shevet Yehuda, and there's beyond that, I really don't know very much. And in one of them, I'm almost sure it was in the Chalkis Yankiv, I saw he quotes Rav Echod Ba'Amerika, Bilum Shen, don't identify him, who says, of course the adoption agency has an M on this. Whatever they tell you, you can accept. Why? Doesn't say why. I presume he means Nemenes Chaya Loima. If a Chaya has an M on this, so he seems to think that this adoption agency is a Chaya, and the Chaya has an M on this. I don't think if he's operating on the monos of a chaya, number one, adoption agency isn't a chaya. Number two, why is the chaya nemon? Do you have a taz? The taz quotes the Ran in the Siman. The taz quotes the Ran because it's a drabonon. The monos is drabonon. E efshir beinyan acher, and it's true before the days of DNA. Otherwise, unless there's nobody else in this house besides this Kimpetoran and this baby, if there are two people in wherever it is that they're delivering, how do you know that they weren't Nisarev? And even in the hospital, typical hospital, how do you know this is your baby? You tell me that when the baby was born, before they left the delivery room, they took the baby's heel, they put it on an ink pad, and they took the heel that was now full of ink, and they put it onto this little certificate, and they identified it with like the fingerprint. It's the heel print. That's how they identify it. They went, who did that? Who did it in the first place? The midwife, the nurse, somebody there. Otherwise, you don't even have that as a simon. It's all you just the monist to say that this is the baby whose foot I put in the ink and then onto this card. And how do you know you didn't put on somebody else's card? Because she's telling you it's Yevshir bin Yenachir. It's clear it's Yevshir bin Yenachir, unless you want to have two Edim present. And then if the two Edim are present, what are they accomplished? You know, in England, the royal family, there's a court official who's got one job. He's got to be physically present at every birth to certify that the baby is an heir to the throne. They don't know about B'mo Kor HaHabashu. Cheskos HaNogu is not enough. They need Edim. So what kind of foolishness is this? You're testifying that the queen had a baby. That's very nice. And how do you know that the next day somebody didn't switch? All you know is that the king didn't go and get somebody from the street because the populace is clamoring for an heir, but that there wasn't an exchange the day afterwards. Who told you there wasn't an exchange the day afterwards? Of course the chaya has to have them on this for this. Otherwise, it's impossible. Yeah?
Great question. What about the fact that the agency has public pressure, government pressure, if they lie? If an opposite agency doesn't...
Well, I'm coming. So I'm going to second. Right? So as far as the adoption agency is concerned, who says it's the Efshir bin Yenachir? It is Efshir bin Yenachir. It's Efshir bin Yenachir go get yourself the girl and let her say, you know, Lakosher Nivalti. You don't have to go tell me who it is. Let her come and be made. Let her sign a piece of paper and show me her piece of paper. Get to 18 in the morning. Call the rob. Do whatever you want. There are lots of things to be done by the time you get to the adoption agency. That's number one. Number two, the adoption agency, I don't think the adoption agency is a chayy in the first place. And the adoption agency, I don't think, has nemonis. Even loimare umnose, if it would apply here, the highest cause of nemonis is basically based upon the kind of loimare umnose. Well, what's the chayy going to switch the kids for? And if she's caught switching the kids, she's out of business. Why should she do something like this? The adoption agency doesn't have this lemaru umnose. Even if lemaru umnose would be enough, and I don't think it is enough. It can't be enough here. Lemaru umnose has very limited applications. Basically for the rabbonos, not for the raises. Here, the adoption agency has every reason to lie. It's lahashbiach mechon. These are so-called Jewish adoption agencies, and they want to stay in business. They want to keep drawing salaries. They want to keep getting money from Federation, and they need clients. And the way that they stay in business is by claiming that they're providing Jewish children. It may be true for all I know, but if you ask me, are they negim bedavar? They look on the gei bedavar godlem yizeh, particularly when the records are sealed. How are you ever going to prove that they lied to you? Now, if the records aren't sealed, maybe it's Milsa Davidul Legluye. I'm not sure it's Davidul Legluye by any means. But when you have sealed records, as you still do in many, if not most, jurisdictions, Mehechatesa, that they should have any nemonis at all. And if that's not enough, there's one of these Chuvas Negris Moshe. There are at least 9 Chuvas, there are probably more. I only counted up to 9. In which he speaks about reform and conservative. Some are reform, some are conservative. In which he says that they're postal edis, and he's got one lotion. Kol ha-nesei shem conservativei al atzmei. Hareze, becheskas, mumer, vekeifer. Even if he's a shemer mitzvah, makes no difference to him. Vein tzorech, kabolas edis. He's postal edis legamre, and you don't have to be cheshish for anything. In one of these cases, it was in one of these Chuvas as an adoption Chuva. And the sirsur, the one who arranged it, as often happens, is the clergyman, the rabbi. He was a conservative rabbi who has made all kinds of things, who knows what. And the first thing Rabbi Moshe says is, it's irrelevant, totally irrelevant. He has no nemonis. No, if he doesn't have nemonis, why should the adoption agency have nemonis? The conservative, the Chaya Lechura has nemonis, even though she's, besides being an Isha, I don't know where it says that a Chaya who's a Rosh of the Chomos doesn't have nemonis. The conservative Rebbetzin, who is a midwife, would have nemonis in the hospital, but if it's not in the hospital, if it's not Pateris Chaya, I don't know why her husband should suddenly get nemonis here. I don't know why. The adoption agency should have namonis with regard to this. So, Memela, if we're dealing with the namonis of the adoption agency, Lechura, they have no namonis at all. And if they have no namonis, so we're back to square one. Rav Moshe calls it a kol v'porish, and it seems to me that they have no namonis, so it's like Einu Cheshish, what difference does it make if I don't have namonis, or if I didn't care in the first place? As far as I'm concerned, the suffix wasn't neilad until I came to the adoption agency. At that point, it's a kavua, and a tinnik is considered to be kavua in wherever he is. So that wherever you find the tinnik, whichever adoption agency you find him, lechura he should have a din of a suffix mamzer. So that's what we start with. That's where I start with, at least. Now, if that's how bad it is, then what are the tzodei haheter? What are the opposite arguments? If you're starting with a sofik which is neilat in the mokim hakvius, there are several things that you could argue. One, there is a neidib yehuda. It's a classic tshuva neidib yehuda. Ben Hashar, he was dealing with such a case, not adoption, but you had a shayla of psule kol with regard to somebody who is now begil ashiduchim, and it wasn't the shayla of the mother, where the mother is mutter to a kohen or who knows what, but shayla on the child. And one of the things says that there's a svek sveke. Maybe the mother was nivel to a kosher. And secondly, even the mother wasn't nivel to a kosher, maybe it was an akum. Sofik, kosher, Sofik posel, and even if it wasn't a kosher, maybe it was an akum. So you have a Svek Sveker here. Maybe it was a goy, and maybe it was a kosher. If it was a goy, she's mutal b'kol. If it's a kosher, she's mutal b'kol. According to the Neid Yehuda, you have a Svek Sveker. The only problem is that all the achronim are chelik on the Neid Yehuda in that part as well as other things. The Beis Meir has the most obvious of all ketanis. He says, what are you talking about? We've got a Svek Sveker. These aren't two Svekers. The akum is a kosher. For these purposes, you want to know whether she was nivel to somebody who makes the vlad apostle, and Akum was one of the many who doesn't make it a apostle, and it's certainly not a svek sveke, which is misapet. And in addition to that, the Raman, the Tur, and Simon Beis, as well as the Magen Mishnah, Perakov, and Isuri Bia, says a Svek Sveke isn't enough for this, that you need more than a Svek Sveke. You need a bigger beer. You need eight of this, or you need something else that you can use, but not this. So, that I don't think that the Svek Sveke is going to work. There are other studying that are operative. Number one, the Beis Shmuel here in Sifkoten Vlamites, the Beis Shmuel says that you have a problem of a shtuki only if there is a mamzer muchzak bi'ir. If there's no mamzer muchzak bi'ir, then we don't have to be chayshish. In effect, what's the Beis Shmuel saying? That a shtuki is only a sofik, she was nivel to a mamzer. We're not concerned that maybe she was nivel to an erva. We're only concerned that she was nivel to a mamzer. They weren't chayshish for an erva in the first place. All that they were chayshish for was a mamzer. I'm sorry? Mechadeset. This goes back to Machlokes Rishonim. Rashi in again Mechadeset. We can talk about that in a second. The first Rashi in Kiddushin Ayin Gimel and Muki Yosef and Yevomis, both of them say that the Xeira was a chash for incest as well, that there was a chash for that too. But other Rishonim say that they weren't concerned. That was Lishchia Klal. The Arroyos people were Nizarin. The Mamzer, she doesn't go after the Baal. Are you a kosher? Are you a fossil? So it could be she was nivel to a Mamzer. Now again, New York's a big city, but in many cities, I'm sure that there's no mamzer who's muhzak as a mamzer beir. Now, I don't know. Today already, you're dealing with something which is more complicated, because by v'nisein harabim, you have people who got married shaloi kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, and then they had civil divorce, and they got married a second time. So now you have a shayla of the vlad from the second marriage. So if you hold that the vlad from the second marriage under these circumstances is a mamzer, so it's pretty hard to find a good-sized city where you don't have somebody who's muhzak as such beer. If, on the other hand, you hold that the first kedushin weren't kedushin in the first place, so the second kedushin were the first kedushin, the child's not a mamzer, I'm not sure that I know him. I don't know mamzer. I mean, I know of, you know, unfortunately, I know of cases where there was either a civil marriage or reform marriage, who knows what, and then there was a zivug sheni with children born from the zivug sheni. How many of those do most people know also? But I'm sure that if I'll ask around, there'll be such muhzak in New York. But a mamzer vadai, I don't know of a mamzer vadai that's muhzak even in New York. Maybe there are such, but you need to be muhzak beer, not just that there are such, but it is muhsa. Yes. And then she gets married a second time. I don't
really
know.
Orthodox rabbi is doing marrying non-Jewish people.
Yes, and then she gets married a second time without a rabbi.
Yeah.
Or with a conservative rabbi. Again, that can happen. I don't know of such a case. I personally don't know of such a case. And you want them to have a child a second time. You heard one little condition. She has to have had a child from the second marriage. Yeah, okay. And I'm sure there must be such, but it's muhzak. I don't know it. Now you'll go create a muhzak, but you know, and I'm sure it's not too hard. But in New York, I don't know that la'is ato it's muhzak yet. In other cities, I doubt that. I don't know. A middle sized city, a small city, there may not be such a case. It may mamish not be such a case. So this becomes another one of the things that you have to be done on.
Doesn't the get law keep that from happening?
to get law.
Not from us. I'm saying from the Arkos. They're not going to do. They won't do the.
You want to know something? The get law can be machzik hamamzer.
No, I understand from what we discussed it before.
Yes, she got a get. Well, the get's no good. No, then she gets married. No. I fortunately don't know anybody who's gotten married after the get law number two and had a baby.
When I have that, then I'll have one that I'll argue is more.
Like
Kevin and I were talking about whether or not we had a case where somebody gets married through a wedding that's done up in din and then gets divorced civilly and then goes off to marry somebody else.
I know people like that.
Right, no, I'm sure that you do. I'm saying from before. I'm wondering if now that changes.
They were married with an Orthodox rabbi, and then
no,
there was no.
The second marriage was a blue steel guy.
So you don't have one either.
And it's not. I'm saying, had she married a Jew, then it would have been.
Yeah, I mean, look, we all know these horror stories, but it becomes hard for us to name names. I can't name names. Okay, so you know that. But the fact that you know doesn't make it muchzak be here. I suspect that if I go to knock on the door of some of the Bote Din in New York, they would rapidly discover that it's muchzak in the Bote Din. But it's not so obvious. And once you go to another city, I don't think it's obvious at all. In another city, there may not be anybody muchzak. That's just one of the study, for whatever it's worth. So that's one side. Now, again, if the agency tells us that the mother was a penuyo shenis abra, so according to Reb Moshe, you got a kind of a if they don't have namonis, then you have a kol de porish meruba porish. If the agency does have namonis and they tell you that she's a pnuishness abra, and either they don't tell you or they have no namonis to tell you that they heard from her lekosher nevalti, she's not available to say lekosher nevalti, then you've got other problems. We have to look for other study. One little point I didn't mention before, and that is there's a machlokes achrenim with regard to whether the pnuya has to say lekosher nevalti bifnei Bezdin, or whether she has namonis to say lekoshen nevalti even shaloi bifnei Bezdin. The Eitzer HaPay scheme brings one Chuvan Achrenim, and I found another one someplace, who say that it has to be bifnei Bezdin, and I would assume that it would have to be bifnei Bezdin, because otherwise why should anybody believe her? She says lekoshen nevalti, why should she say anything? Why should she be held responsible for what she says? Mele, if she says bifnei Bezdin and she knows it's Negeya Sokula Ivulai, she has namonis. I understand Chazal gave her namonis, but if she's not making a serious statement in the first place, why should she have namonis for that? But there are some achrenim who say she has namonis even chutz lebezdin. And certainly lachatchila, if you're trying to avoid the problems, the way to avoid the problems is to get the woman to have her say le kosher nevalti bifnei bezdin. Okay, let me go back. In the standard case where you've got a penuyo who doesn't say lekosher nevalti, or you have no evidence that she said lekosher nevalti, as in the case of the adoption agency, what are the tzodei hasofik, if any? Everybody knows the Noidi Bihuda, the Machlokes Noidi Bihuda, and the Shmaitze. The Noidi Bihuda says that Chazal were matzrich two roivs only when the Shaila was on the mother. However, and since Nochadat Gemara tells us we are afraid that there was that she was nivel namokum kavua, that she went to the boil, and therefore there were matzrich two roivs. However, if the Noidi Bihuda's case was the mother had long since died, and what we had was the child who wanted to get married. So there wasn't a shaila on the mother whether the mother is mutter b'kol, the mother is not mutter b'kol, or mutter t'kein, or not mutter t'kein. The shaila is only with regard to the daughter. Is the daughter a sofik mamzeres, or is she not a sofik mamzeres? Says Noidi Bihuda that here the child is a porush. The child has a din of kol the porush and ruba porush, and we can be done on her, and there's no problem at all. So again, if the sofik now is noyled at the chuppah, not when you're going to the adoption agency to get the child, so lechura at this point, it sounds like it called the porish meruba porish. Now the problem is, and what does neid yuda mean? The way the child is always called the porish. You could have said that the mother is also lekain, and when the child comes 20 years later, and the child wants to get married, the child is mutter lekol, is nokshash mamzer, because the child is called the porish. The child didn't go to the bail, the mother went to the bail. No, that's the what neid yuda starts with. So I think most people, including the Chendas Yisrael, and I think the Shemaitza also understood the Kenitzer definitely, and I think the Shemaitza also understood the Neid Yehuda as in effect saying that there's logical entailment, and in effect this is Daime. Again, this is what I don't want to talk about too much Bariches, but just the case. This is a tshuva in the Goine Basroi with a Mavuch in later Achreinim. You have a butcher store that slaughtered an animal, and they sold half the animal, and now the other half is still in the butcher store, and you find treifas in the half that remained in the butcher store. Now you're examining it, and you found that it's treif. What's the din? This is definitely treif. We know it's treif. And what about what was sold already? Is there a and people bought lots of meat. Lots of people bought meat. You can no longer identify. It's not as if you could match them with DNA, and we know which animal this steak came from. Is the meat that was already sold, is it called the porish, or is it a sophagus neilat in the mokeim hakvius? Now, you want to now tell me that if you look at called the porish and the porish, all the meat that was bought is kosher. Everyone's called the porish. Now, what's left in the butcher store is a kol kavua kamasa matzadomi, and particularly if you have a taruvus, you can add a taruvus to all of this. So now we found the treifus in the butcher store. So all the meat in the butcher store is going to be treif because we have a taruvus. And what we sold, we're going to say every one of them, we're going to say is a called the porish, meruva porish. That doesn't make terribly much sense. So a lot of Achrayim will say that once you had a paskei, if he sold all the meat and one of the housewives finds a tray from which she takes it home, it's too late. We have a cold. This is tray, the others aren't tray. But what we have in the butcher store, that was noiled in the mokim hakvius, and therefore, since we had the paskin that all the meat in the butcher store is a trade, because kolkvuk masa maksadomi, you can't say the other half of the animal outside the butcher store is kosher, that's just illogical, therefore, that meat is also trade. I think that the Chemdas Yisroel understood that this is what the Neid Yehuda is saying. Neid Yehuda is saying is you have a pregnant woman and now she wants to marry a Kohen, and you're telling her you can't marry a Kohen because there's a kol kavua, and now she's asking, and what about my daughter? Is she mutter b'kol? Is she also b'kol? How can we tell this woman you're usher and your child's mutter? That can't be, even though the child was never in a mokum kvius. So the logical entailment is that if the mother is possible, then the child is also b'kol. That's how I think the Chemdas Yisrael understands the Neid Yehuda. If it's this logical entailment, so now that the mother is dead, no longer asking shailus. Dead women don't ask shailus. So the shailus is only on the Vlad. The Vlad is called the Porish. The Vlad is always a Porish. The Vlad was never, ever in the Mokum Makfius. You have a called the Porish, Ruba Porish. So you'll tell me that now too? When the mother was Nivol, that was 25 years ago. And the mother is not asking Shailas. The only one we have here at the Chalchupe is the child. The child is a called the Porish, Meruba Porish. Only I don't think that works if this is shot in the Neid Yehuda. It doesn't work because the Neid Yehuda was talking about a woman who's dead. And as I said before, dead women have no shailas. She'll never come to ask us a shailas. It's impossible. This mother who surrendered the child for adoption 25 years later, who says she doesn't want to marry a Kohen tomorrow, and she'll come tomorrow and she'll identify herself in one way or another, she'll unseal the records, which you can do in some jurisdictions, and we will suddenly discover that this girl's mother, we were just Masada Kiddushin tonight, and tomorrow morning her mother comes to marry a Kohen, we tell her, sorry, you can't marry a Kohen. So what's happening here? We now have to tell this woman, the girl that we were Masada Kiddushin for the night before, that you're also to your husband because you're a Sofik Mamzeres. You're a Shtuki, you're Posim Bakol. Right? Does that make sense? That can't be. That's the same tarsi de sasre. I understand it's befanenu. I'm not sure if befanenu makes a difference. If you assume that the individual was concerned with what I called logical entailment, yeah, it's a tarsi de sasre, and here you have the opportunity or the prospect.
Find elsewhere a tarsi de sasre is no good as befanenu, but not potentially.
Well,
we find distinction elsewhere. Fanena was no good, and if it's not
a Fanena, we'll all right, we have to deal with each one of the cases separately. I'm not sure this is even shot in Neid Behuda. But if you understand that Neid Behuda was concerned with a Tarte de Sasser in the Psak, then the potential, and it's a real potential, it's not just a possible potential, because whether she's Befaneinu or not Befaneinu, she's still Bechayim. And it's not as if the woman, the Shteishvili or whatever, you're dealing with, you don't know it's a Shaila in the first place. It's potentially a Shaila, and there is a potential Tati Desasri. But here, the goof that should be asking the Shaila is very much present. And all that's missing is Mechuser B.S. Bezdin. He didn't come knocking on the door yet, but it can happen any time. So if this is pshat in the Yud, I don't think that it works. However, if the Yigurim pshat in the Yud a little bit differently, and again, I don't want to enter into this now, maybe next time, but I'm not sure this is what Neid Behuda meant at all. I think what Neid Behuda meant was something a little bit different. The Neid Behuda may have meant that you can't, a little bit what you're saying, but not because it's b'faneinu, not b'faneinu. When you're being done on the mother, you're being done on to whom the mother was nivul, you're being done on the mokum hakvius. The child may never have been in the mokum hakvius, but the child's sofik comes from the mokum hakvius. That's where the ushtam of the shaila is in the first place. So that if I'm done on the mother, I am at that point saying that the mother became posel because she was, or the possibility that she was in the mokum of the kriyus, and the child that she's carrying, she was with her, not because of logical entailment, but because when the mother is here and she's a muberis, or she got a little kid in tow, I have to be done on both of them bebas achas, and if I'm being done on both of them bebas achas, I have to be done where the child was neitzar, where is the conception of the child. That's what is, you're rubbing in the face of the Bezdin. You're telling the Bezdin, this child, where were you conceived? And I have to be done on the conception, because I'm forced to deal with the conception when I'm talking about the mother. 20 years later, I don't have to know where this child was conceived. 20 years later, I want to know your kosher, your posel, where you're conceived, I don't care about. I don't have to be done in which spot. 20 years later, it's a kol d'porish. There are mamzerim in the world. I know the mamzerim in the world. 20 years later, it's a kol d'porish, meruba porish. And I don't have to go look at the mokum leidas asofik, no pun intended. I don't have to look at the mokum of the ibur. I've got this general principle of kol d'porish. So if that's pshat in the Neid Behuda, it may still work. It may still have the Neid Behuda to be mitzaref. The Shmaitzer, when we'll talk about today, Shmaitzer is going to work anyway. The best heter, I think, is one that most Acharonim don't want to accept. And that is the simple heter. For most Rishonim, not all, but la'alocha. If the mother doesn't say l'kosher nevalti, if you have two raves, it's enough. You need rave here and rave siya. So all the Acharonim quote the Binyan Tzion HaKadoshes. It's the Binyan Tzion, it's just in the back. He says that Bizmanenu, we don't have two roys. Once upon a time, there were roys seis. There were caravans. And therefore, you had two roys. But we don't have caravans running around anymore. Therefore, we don't have two roys. All right, now, again, in terms of the Gemara, what are we dealing with? The Gemara couldn't rely on one roy because we're not sure the roy is good enough. Maybe she went to them. So we are mitzdarif, the roiv siya, and we're saying you need a second roiv. You have a roiv siya, then if it was the siya, then you've got a second roiv as well. In effect, it's a kind of a svexvake. If you're toiling the city, that's not good enough because it's like a suffic roiv. The first roiv is a suffic roiv. So we have a second roiv to add. Okay, and they're saying we don't have roiv siya, so we don't have trey rube. And I don't understand, Poshut. I don't understand what he means. I understand that in Kalsaru, where he was a Rav, there were no caravans. And in Kalsaru, there was only one Rav, the people. So I have only one Rav. In New York, or for that matter, any city that has a train station, there are two Ravs. Who says that the second Rav has to be outside the city, that the caravans went outside the city limits? And if the caravans went through the city, it would be any worse? Every time you go to the station, you'll see, even Bishovim, people are leaving, and they're coming back, and the ones who are coming back aren't the ones who left yesterday. They're tourists! Any place you have a tourist center, you've got people coming from Mealma, from wherever they are. They're not the Anshei Yair. So you got a second row for people who aren't Anshei Yair, and they're Dreinzach in the hotels here. What's the difference if they're Dreinzach outside the city or Dreinzach in the hotels in the city? They're not from the Teshvei Yair. And if you want, I'll go a step further. Even if you're not dealing with a place that attracts a lot of tourists, even if you're dealing with a small town someplace that no tourists come to this town, no salesmen don't come in caravans to sell their goods, but every town that I know, I won't talk about a farming village someplace, every town is on a highway, and on a highway they're caravans, they're called automobiles. That's not a siyah. And you know what, it's not just as if they just travel, but they also have pit stops. And all kinds of things happen at the pit stops. What's the Rav Siyah? That's what we were afraid. Maybe there was a Rav Siyah and they stopped to feed their camels. And in the meantime, they did what they did with this woman. Ooh, this can happen in the rest stop on the highway. What's chilik? It's any different. I don't know why there's not two raids in our cities. I understand. 150 years ago in Kalsaru, maybe there weren't two raids. But the Achredim are just nightic that we don't have two raids. I don't know of a place, a serious place, where there are enough people that don't have two raids. That's the Heter Meruvach. It's the best of all the Heterim. All right. In addition to everything else, I think there's another Tzad Heter. I probably should have, in order, I should have put it before. But the Neid Yehuda asks Eikasha. The Neid Yehuda says, and why isn't every Asufi a Shtuki also? Now, what I mean is, why isn't every Asufi, Asufi is bad enough, but you have an Asufi, what I call an Asufi ben Mitzius, who is not an Asufi bedin, left in the Chotz of Beis HaKnesses. He's kosher. You have to worry about Akum, whatever, but he's kosher lovei b'kol if it's right in Rav Yisrael. He needs gerus l'chumra. Okay, fine. But I want to know, why aren't you choshish that he was a nail from a mamzer? Just because he's an asufi, he's not a shtuki. So a shtuki also. That's not even a discussion. Says the United Behuda, you're not choshish for his nus unless there's no other way to explain it. We're not. If you find an asufi, you're not chayshish the people are mizaneh. You know it is an asufi. It's an asufi because of ravin. If you know it's not ravin, everybody's got a cheskes kashrus. Were you telling me the mother was mizaneh? Mother, a pnu yishnis abra. I know she was mizaneh. Crazy ben Chanel. How else did you get pregnant? It wasn't the immaculate conception. So, but that's only when I know that she was mizaneh. When I don't have any hechokhuv's nus, I'm never toilin's nus. If I can be toilin, it was done by Eif and Amuter. So my only problem with a Sufi is maybe it was a mamzer, not, mamzer, because, and once there's a simon that it wasn't mushlach to die as a mamzer, then I'm not cheshish for anything else. No, I go back to what I said before. The adoption agency has no nemonis. So what do you want me to do? To be cheshish that the baby that they're giving me is one who is noilad biznus? We're never cheshish biznus. Unless we have it b'tfaneinu. If the Neid Yehuda is right, there's no gzeir of shtuki unless you see the shtuki. She's crazy ben Shinel and she's not married, so it must be biznus. But when the adoption agency comes and tells me that we have a nice Jewish baby we got from a mother, and I ask her, and why did she give it to you? And the adoption agency tells me because she got pregnant, how do I know? Why? To me, this is not Sufi. It's not Sufi. I took to the Beis HaKnesses. There must have been some poor family that's got too many children to support. So they went and they took one of them and they gave it to the adoption. They surrendered it for adoption. Only you won't tell me that because you're some a liar. You don't tell the truth if you can tell a lie. Or because that's not, people don't want to do this. They don't want to take a child from a family that, I had once. I have balabos. wanted to adopt a child, and somebody put him into contact with somebody in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a family that had 15 kids or whatever, and no parnasa. And when it came to it, it was a gevir. Lemaisa, he couldn't take the child. He's not going to do this to a family. And he promised that he would send them a check every month, and he did. Yeah, I mean, to take a child from an unwed mother, he's doing everybody a favor. The mother can't raise him, it's a begamish boch, it's a busha, and how they're going to send her a check. It's also no tikkun for the child. That kind of a child, he's ready to adopt. So, and the adoption agency doesn't want to go tell you they took a child from such a family. They are heartless creatures. You should be supporting the family, not surrendering the children for adoption. You tell me it's an unwed mother, oh, that's fine, that's wonderful. So, and if they tell me that they don't have nemonis in the first place, so what can the nemonis they have to mitzvah on a basi soral, even an anonymous one, to tell me she was mizan, and lady be this telling me a principle. The Chazal weren't cheshish for his news. The Chazal aren't cheshish for his news. There's no gzeir of ishtuki. I don't need anything. So, if I'm right that the adoption agency has no nemonis, period, no nemonis means no nemonis. I take this native view that I have one side of it. And if you tell me that they do have nemonis for whatever reason, then I go back. I think the heter meruvach is the trei rubei. With trei rubei, there's no shayla altogether. All right.
I'm going to black and finish it up next week.
No.
Okay. And I'll speak in 2 weeks. Why should we have it in the middle? Okay.
The other has nothing to do with the other. Is the okay?
No,
it'll be longer. Yeah. Now it comes from the third world and Mela. Those are definitely ir shekula akum. Yeah, they need gerus mitzad hadin, not lechumra.
No, I asked
him.
I'm just wondering if
anyone
knows right.
Well, if you get it from Russia, you've got the same problems as in America. In Russia, they're mamzeri.
Someone else got it from Romania.
Romania, I don't know.
It was Russia, one of those nurses said. It was called the Jewish baby. The nurse, they called the Jewish baby. The pastor said it really wasn't Jewish. Just everyone called the Jewish baby. But that's not a role of any sense of it.
What made it think was it? I mean, again,
in the nursery, they called him the Jewish baby.
Romania, we have to remember there are Jews in Romania.
No, there were Jews. This is because there are Jews. Well, the mice, there's no evidence that it's.
Of course not.
No, so they converted anyway, make her in. But that's like.
Well, the question is whether if they claim the monos of Chaya, then the people who say they have the monos are saying they told you it's a Jewish baby and it's a shtuki.
Okay, but I mean, the Maisa, they just called the Jewish baby because that's what they have no idea why it's called the Jewish baby. It could have been, there was a, they just know the place they called the Jewish baby, the state nursing home, whatever, state orphanage. They called the Jewish baby.
When we asked them, what do you mean the Jewish baby? What do they answer?
They said this is the Jewish, we called the Jewish baby. I don't know the full story. Like, this is why I know the people. But in terms of Rush, you think it's a din in the fact that Jews,
Russia,
a lot of babies coming out of the Eastern Europe.
Now the babies are all coming from Eastern Europe. A lot of them come from Eastern Europe, the ones that aren't Asian. I don't think it's much different from America.
Really? I mean, just in terms of statistic portion of Jews.
A number of them, how many of them are Jews?
Yeah.
Virtually none.
So it's no different than, so why would it be more of so it's no difference in Asia? You're saying it's
in Asia there are no Jews.
You're saying in Latin America also?
Latin America.
So you're saying it's Russia because it's a miyachim and miyachim Jews?
I didn't say it was a Mishav.
It's a Mishav Jews.
I said, in the real world, there are no Jews. No Jewish babies being surrendered for adoption. And if yes, they're probably more in Russia than in America. In Russia, could happen. In America,
in Russia.
So you're back to all of the. In the real world or in Halach?
Both.
In Halach, I don't think there's a chashash. In the real world, I doubt it. But there's a theoretical possibility. In this country, I think it's Korov lefts. I don't think there are any big Jewish kids.
People cut them up. Jewish
those are private adoptions. The coming from Russia isn't a private adoption. Those are from state asylums.
Yeah, but you hire a lawyer anyway to get it.
Of course, you have to hire a lawyer. I mean, we go to a adoption agency, you also hire a lawyer. But that lawyer isn't the seersor. In those, it's the lawyer who's the good. But the state agency, it's like an adoption agency. That's, I don't know what goes on in Russia. But I would be surprised that there are many Jews. They are probably more than America. That's simply because the socioeconomic position of Jews in Russia is not what it is in America. In America, a girl knows what to do. In Russia, there may be ones who don't know what to do.
What simanim are we learning?
Yeah,
the 10th.